Good morning. Welcome to Whitestone. Especially if you're here for the first time, we're glad that you're here to worship with us. It's a big weekend. We have a lot of folks who are faculty, students, alumni, coaches of Fulton High School. And congratulations to you guys on the state championship yesterday. That's awesome. That's great. And as we talked about, and you may have already heard several times already today, we're beginning a series today called How to Throw a Great Party. And we're going to talk about that throughout the month of December. And today we're looking at Be My Guest and what it means to have guests at a party. How do you invite guests? Who are you going to invite to your party? And what's the party look like? If you're like most of us, you've probably been to your share of parties, all kinds of parties, all range of parties, all seasons of parties, all sizes of parties. Some that just really stand out in your mind for how great they were, some for your children, some that you would rather forget, but all kinds of parties that stick out in your mind. Some of them are holiday parties. We're getting ready to come up on the season where we're going to have a lot of Christmas parties going on and New Year's parties, Halloween parties. Sometimes you'll gather with family around the 4th of July. Some people throw parties around big events. You know, like in the first Sunday of February, there'll be the Super Bowl party. Probably folks will have a Super Bowl party, and there's March Madness parties that go on. I've known friends who've had Oscar parties. I didn't go to them, but they were Oscar parties. And, you know, those kind of events. Then there are parties where there's no event needed. It's the weekend, you know, and there's a party. There's always a party going on. And all sizes. Sometimes you go to a party, it's a small dinner party. It can be 4 or 5 people, and you can go for several hundred people. Some that take a lot of planning, some that take very little planning. Yesterday, our ladies got together for a ladies' Christmas tea, and what a great job they did. And thank you to that whole team that put that together, and Patty Warwick being the brain person behind that. Thank you, Patty. And it was just great, but a lot of planning went into that. A lot of people spent a lot of time getting ready for that and worked really hard. Then there's some parties that take very little planning. I remember for Penny and I, one time we stood up before some students on a Wednesday night. It was kind of a last-minute thought right before I got up before them, and we said, hey, Friday, 2 days from now, is going to be Halloween. Anybody wants to come over to our house and bring something on Halloween night, if you don't have a place to go, come over to our house. And we stopped counting at 100 on Friday night. We just let them know that on Wednesday, and the next year we did it again, and we had about 400. We moved it the next year to a gymnasium, and so some take very little planning. But any party list that you look at, there's all kinds of experts now on how to throw a great party. I was just looking online, all kinds of websites and books and experts on how to. There's countdown lists of several months out and weeks out and what you're to do. But every party involves inviting people. And every party countdown list that you'll look at, one of the very first things that it says to do is come up with the occasion for this party and who you're going to invite, who your guests are going to be. Now, when we as believers think about how that relates to us, a lot of times we think about, when we think about guests and who's going to be our guest, and we've heard people talk about, especially when a big event was coming up like a revival or a special service like a Christmas service or something like that, you would be challenged to make out your invitation list, people you're going to pray for, people you're going to invite. And so that's usually a lot of times what we think about when we think about making out a guest list. We think about inviting people to church. Inviting people to church. Some of you are here today because someone invited you here. Some of you are here today and your relationship with Christ began because someone invited you. Now, we're going to take a look at a video, a humorous video here in just a minute about someone who wanted to invite his coworker to church. We're going to take a look at that. Let's do that. My wife and I... we thought that was the hilarious part of it. That's the extreme that we think of a lot of times when we think about inviting people. When we think about inviting them to church, we think about the extreme. I noticed even in here, some people may not even get that kind of humor, but there were people in here who didn't even laugh because you've thought those thoughts. You know what I'm saying? You've thought those thoughts about when you're going to invite a friend or a coworker. Oh my goodness, what's the response going to be? Is it going to be rapture or is it going to be anger and disgust? What's it going to be? The response is rarely that extreme, but it does illustrate how oftentimes We misread people's response. Now, there's the way that we live our lives. We live our lives as an invitation all the time. Just by the way that we live our lives, the things that we talk about the things that are important to us. And the things that are important to us, in essence, when we talk to people and we're passionate about something, we're inviting them into our lives. Does that make sense? And our priorities, listen to this, our priorities determine our passions. Does that make sense? Our priorities determine our passions, and our passions are what we talk about. Your passion may be bass fishing. Now, I don't know a thing about bass fishing, but I could get together with you, and because you're so passionate about it, you could talk about boats and lures and fish and lakes you've been to and how to do it and what to do, and I would come away probably with a greater interest in bass fishing. Your passion may be Little League football, and you can talk about plays and kids and motivating and leagues, and that's just what you're excited about, and that's one of your passions, and that's one of the great things about you because you really enjoy that. It could be gardening, and you're in conversation with some people about some things, but man, when it turns to something about the yard or plants or trees or watering and all the stuff I don't have a clue about, you are in your zone. You know what I'm saying? You can get in there and you can talk about plants with the best of them. You know why? Because you're passionate about that. That's a good thing. We talk about the things that we're passionate about. And the point is, we invite people into our lives when we begin to talk about the things that are important to us, when we talk about our passions. Now, there's several places in Scripture that talk about great invitations that people gave. In John chapter 4, Andrew was, along with someone else, was hearing John the Baptist preach. John the Baptist had disciples, and Andrew was one of them. And he was with someone else, and John the Baptist was talking to his disciples, and Jesus came along, and Jesus came where they were, and he introduced Jesus to this group that he was talking to and said, "This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is the Messiah." And it says that Andrew and a friend went, and they spent the day with Jesus. And at the end of that day, Andrew went and got his brother, Simon Peter, and said, "You've got to come and meet this guy." And Simon Peter, because Andrew invited him, came to meet Jesus, and his life was changed. Jesus one time was on his way through Samaria, and he met a woman, and he sat down at a well and began to talk with her. And as their conversation went along, he began to talk with her about how she might not just be able to draw regular water, but living water. A living water that would change her life. And he began to talk to her in spiritual terms. And it says that as he began to talk to her and as he began to challenge her and even challenge her about some personal issues in her life and talk with her about how to have life, at the end of that, it says that the lady, you remember what the lady did? It says that the lady went into town and she says, "Come hear a man who's told me everything about myself. He may be the Messiah." She wasn't even completely convinced that he was the Messiah, but she was ready to go tell other people about who he was. And she began to invite people to come and to hear Jesus. What was she saying? Her, Andrew, they were both saying this. They were saying, "Come and be my guest. Be my guest and come listen to a man that I've been impacted by." That's what they were talking about. The bigger questions for us usually are not who do we invite. That's not the largest question, because I think most of us, when we begin to think about eternal issues, when we begin to think about some of the most important things in life, knowing Jesus and spending eternity with Him, who to invite is not really a big issue, because I think most people in here would say the who to invite is everyone. If this is a good thing, then I want everyone to know Him. And we would all agree with that. The bigger questions are these. Not who do we invite, but what is the party? And why would people even want to come to it? Not who do we invite, but what's the party? And how do we get people to come to it? If you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 9. It'll be here on the screen if you don't. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 through 13. We're going to look at a party. Matthew throws a party. And let's look at the guests that come. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 9, is Matthew's encounter with Jesus. Now, Matthew is writing about himself here, so keep that in mind. Verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. And while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And on hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." What happened in Matthew's life? Maybe he already knew Jesus before. He probably did. But in this instance, there's a lot that the Bible just doesn't fill in for us. You know, we don't know how many people were there. We don't know what Jesus was saying and what their conversation was like. But what we were given was that Jesus issued an invitation to Matthew, and Matthew accepted. He said, "Come follow me." And Matthew said, "Yes." And the next thing that we read is that Matthew's having a party at his house. Jesus is there, and we read that Matthew is a tax collector. So who does he invite to the party? People he works with. He invited, it says, many other tax collectors and sinners were there eating with Jesus. So Matthew throws this party. He invites all of his friends. Jesus is there. And of course, the Pharisees see this going on. And their opinion, their view about people who live a sinful life, and tax collectors didn't have a great reputation because they usually skimmed off the top and stole from people. And they said, their view was, don't associate with people like that because that will make you unclean. And so the Pharisees say to Matthew and to Jesus' disciples, why does he do this? Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And one of the other gospels says, why does he eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And the scripture goes on to say that Jesus says to them, it's the sick who need a doctor, not the righteous. And I desire mercy and not sacrifice. So Matthew meets Jesus, his life is changed, he invites his friends, and they come to hear what Jesus is saying. So what is the party? What did Matthew invite his friends to see? What was it that the lady invited the townspeople to come and see? What was it that Andrew wanted his brother Simon Peter to come and see? Is the party church? Is our primary focus in inviting people to church? It's part of it. It can be part of it. Is our primary focus, is the party a special meeting? Is it Christmas Eve? Is it December 24th when we gather here and we have a special service? Or we do a special service in the spring? Is that it? Is that the party? It's part of it. Is the party when we have a revival and services and special services and evangelist comes in and speaks? Is that the party? It's part of it. It's part of the party. Unfortunately, what we've done is we've misidentified what the party is and the invitation. The question is not the guest. It's what's the party. We've defined so often in our culture, in our Southern Bible Belt culture, we've defined the party so often as church. And the goal and the end all and the purpose of it all is to try to get somebody to come to church. We've heard the party defined as a special event and a special speaker and a special service. And your role is just to get people there. And so what we've been taught so oftentimes to believe is the party is church, the party is an event, the party is revival, and if you'll do your part to get people to come, then people will be invited and they will attend and they will become part of the party. What's the party? If it's not any of those things, what is it? Well, you already know. From looking at these passages, the party is life with Christ. That's the party, see? And a lot of those other things can be a part of it. But what we need to keep in mind is where we're inviting people to. What is it that we're trying to see happen in people's lives? What we want to see happen when we say, there is a party you want to be a part of, and my role in inviting you to be my guest to this party is I've got to have a good understanding of what the party's about. And the party is helping people to understand where they are with Christ and have life with Christ. And here's the disconnect, okay? Here's the disconnect. We've come to believe that if we'll invite people, then life change is going to happen. If we'll just invite people, that's when it's going to happen. And you say, well that's kind of what I've been told. That's kind of what I thought. If I do my part, and the preacher does his part, and the evangelist does his part, and my part is getting people there, then people's lives are going to be changed. And there's a disconnect. You know how I know? Because we have revival services all the time with no fruit. And we have church services and special services all the time with no baptisms as a result of it. Are baptisms the goal? No. But they're fruit of a changed life. That's what it's about. It's someone's life being changed. And all those other things are good. Have you ever gotten party invitations? And you get this, you know, you get party invitations. Sometimes it seems like they come in, you know, a lot at one time. And you'll open up this invitation, and it could be to a Christmas party, or it could be usually to a shower or to a wedding, you know. And sometimes you open it up and you go, who in the world are these folks? Honey, who is this? And sometimes she'll look at it and she'll go, you know, I think it's so and so. And you start asking the questions. You go, who is this? And why did we get this? And why would I want to go? Because I don't know them. And usually it's because they want a present. They don't want your presence. They want a present. And you go, if I have to. Or no, I don't know them. When you get an invitation from somebody you don't know, who has no real vested interest in you, who you know really, I mean, in a practical way, really doesn't care about you, they want something from you, put yourself on the receiving end. If someone comes to me and offers me an invitation that I don't know real well, that's not invested in my life, what do I think? What do they want from me? That's what happens when we invite people we don't know. We said there's two questions. One's, what's the party? The second is this: why would people want to come to our party? Listen, people will be interested in Jesus. People will listen about Jesus. People in general are incurably curious about spiritual things. People will listen. People will say yes to Jesus, and they'll say yes to wanting to know more, and they'll say yes to wanting to grow in Him, and they'll say yes to wanting to be changed by Him. You know why? People will listen and come and say yes and grow when you show them Jesus. That's when it happens. It's not the invitation. It's not who's going to come. It's how are we going to get them to the party? Is it going to be just your invitation? Or will it be your life? You're going to hear us talk a lot here about relationships. A lot. Because we believe that the most effective way to see God use me and God use you to change a person's life for eternity, which is why we are here in relationships, that's going to happen when you and I become a trusted friend. Listen, when you and I become a trusted friend with, don't miss these words, relational integrity in our lives. What's that mean? When you and I become trusted friends, for eternity. When we have relational integrity with people, what does that mean? What does it mean for you to have integrity in relationships? It means that you really care. I really care about someone. I listen to someone. I help meet needs in someone's life. People see that you're weak and they see that you're not perfect. And you challenge them. You don't sit back and hope that everything will get better. But when they say, I'm a seeker, you ask how. And when they say, I haven't been really doing it, well, how's that working out for you? And so you begin to challenge them and you step in their life and you're just real. You're weak and you're imperfect and you love them and you meet their needs. That's what it means to have relational integrity when you build relationships. And someone who receives an invitation from someone they don't know, there's no relational integrity. There's nothing there. Why would I want to do that? I don't know you. I don't see the thing you're asking me to buy into. Why would I do that? You and I have to be willing to understand that before, we have to be willing to understand before we'll be understood. Does that make sense? We have to be willing to understand other people before they're ready to listen to us. Sometimes the only model that we've seen is in sharing Christ is just invite them. Just invite them. Make your list. Have a worship service. Give you a card. Make your list. Make sure you send them a card. Make sure you make a phone call. Make sure you get up enough nerve to walk into the office and say, my wife and I. Inviting people is part of the process. It's just not the whole. It's a part of it. It's an important part, but it doesn't come close to being what the process is about. And one of the things that probably just, in terms of the kingdom, that discourages me to no end is to hear people talk about all the numbers. Listen, I think people ought to wait about a year before they talk about who came to Christ. That's not my opinion. Jesus says, by their fruits you'll know them. By their fruits you'll know them. So why? Why is it that we do events and we have people and people come and people come and people come? And we have people come forward and come forward and come forward and nothing happens afterwards. There's a disconnect. There's a disconnect. There's an invitation. There is a person and nothing's happening. What's the disconnect? The disconnect is that nobody's showing them. Nobody walked with them before and nobody's walking with them afterwards. It's a both and. Listen to what I'm saying. It's not either or. We invite people. They come. But we invest in people's lives. That's what it's about. And your invitation to them may be, for the first time, may be into a conversation. And your second invitation to them might be to lunch. And your third invitation to them might be to your house. And it may be your 25th invitation before you ever invite them to church. And it may be your second. But it's the fact that God has begun to do a work in us about who? People. People. Not a process. We talked a few weeks ago when we took communion, we talked about the idea of Jesus, but not experiencing Jesus. Listen, you and I are filled up to here with the idea of evangelism. We are filled to overflowing with the idea of seeing people come to know Jesus. How's it working out for us? It's not about the idea. It's about the reality. It's about the reality. And all of us are in different places in our growth with Christ, but listen, it's one of the fruits that God wants to see in our lives and in the life of our church. That's what He wants to see. It's invitation with no investment. And oftentimes, religious leaders will push people to invite so that we can alleviate the guilt of a lack of investment in people's lives. We invite people to the party, and when you begin to think about the people you want to see at the party, and you make your guest list. When you go home today and you go home this week, or maybe in a few minutes when we sing some songs and maybe you sit there and pray, when you think about the people that God has placed in your sphere of influence, in your workplace, in your family, in your friendships, make it an investment list. Make it a list. These are the people I want to love on to Jesus. Not just the people I'm going to invite in 2 weeks to come here, Ken Freeman, an evangelist who's going to be great, and I hope you invite people. Not just people I'm going to invite on December 24th when we have a Christmas Eve service, and I hope that you invite people. But these are the people that I'm going to invite and invest in with my life. That's what I'm going to do. So that when I say, would you like to come with me? They will have seen this in me. And when they hear the message, we go back and we have something to talk about. And they have something to see based on the truth that they've heard. It may be that you're the one, that you're the biggest message that they hear. You're the biggest message that they see. They might come hear me speak and go, I tell you what, day to day working beside her is a lot more powerful than that was. That's the investment. And we all have calendars and schedules. And we, you know what we do? Sometimes we go, well, I don't want to just make people my project. I'm afraid that they'll get offended by that. I don't want people to know that they're my project. Listen, it's all about your heart. It's all about what God wants to do in you and through you. And you have a calendar, and I have a calendar, and you have schedules, and I have schedules. And we keep a schedule every day, every week, every month, every year. And you and I build into our schedule the things that are important to us. And the things that are important to us are time with our family, time with our children, time with our spouse, time to be at work, you and time for recreation, and you and I need to build into our schedules people. People. People to invest in. There's nothing wrong with that. That's blessed. That's good. That's godly. That we would take our schedule and say, I'm going to spend time with people. We're going to find a night of the week this month to have them over. I'm going to find a lunch this week to go out with him. I'm going to be intentional wherever I am to have an investment in this person, God, that you've placed in my life. And I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to meet their needs. I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to let them see my struggles. I'm not going to pretend that I'm perfect. I'm going to talk about what I did this weekend. I'm going to share with them. I'm going to love on them. And God, I'm going to leave the work of the Holy Spirit up to you. And you might do it like that, and it might take a year or 2 years. But it's a lot more than me making a list and making a bunch of phone calls. It's a lot more. It's loving people. Jesus said, what did he say? He was there in the Pharisees. Why does he do? Why does he eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? You know what he said? I desire mercy, not sacrifice. What's that mean? Mercy involves people. Mercy involves people. Sacrifice involves duty. Sacrifice can be completely empty and only dutiful. Sacrifice involves a list of people we need to get in touch with. Sacrifice involves a list of people we want to impact. Mercy is loving on people, impacting people, changing people, being a part of their lives. Listen, Whitestone is a lot like our lives. You and I don't look the same last year as we do this year. Good or bad, stronger, weaker, whatever it is. Fatter, skinnier, I don't know. We don't look the same as we did last year. It's like your kids. Your children, they grow so fast. 1 year you're teaching them ABCs, and the next year they're learning to read. You know? They grow so fast. Whitestone's grown a lot in the past year. We've grown a lot. And I am not talking about numbers. I'm talking about Whitestone has grown spiritually in maturity. God's done beautiful things in the lives of our people. And when we sing about, you came to mend my broken life, and I begin to think about all my friends in here that have been changed. I'm just going to let it lay there.
This is one of the next steps in our maturity as a body. And it's one of the next steps in my life and your life as individuals. Let us not be filled with the idea of people's lives being changed. Let us be filled with the reality of people's lives being changed. When you go home today and you go home this week, would you just give a little bit of thought of, God, who's my investment list? Who is it, God, that you want me to build a trusted friendship that will impact eternity? Who do you want me to have relational integrity with, God, so that we could see people, so that, God, you might use me for somebody's life to be changed for eternity? Let's pray together.